The Strange High House in the Mist by H.P. Lovecraft, narrated by Peter Coates. In the morning, mist comes up from the sea by the cliffs beyond Kingsport. White and feathery it comes from the deep to its brothers the clouds, full of dreams of dank pastures and caves of Leviathan, and later, in still summer rains on the steep roofs of poets, the clouds scatter bits of those dreams, that men shall not live without rumour of old, strange secrets, and wonders that planets tell planets alone in the night. When tales fly thick in the grottos of Tritons, and conches in seaweed cities blow wild tunes learned from the elder ones, then great eager mists flock to heaven laden with lore, and oceanward eyes on the rocks see only a mystic whiteness, as if the cliff's rim were the rim of all earth, and the solemn bells of boys tolled free in the ether of faery. Now, north of archaic Kingsport, the crags climb lofty and curious, terrace on terrace, till the northernmost hangs in the sky like a great frozen wind cloud. Alone it is, a bleak point jutting in limitless space, for there the coast turns sharp, where the great Miskatonic pours out of the plains past Arkham, bringing woodland legends and little quaint memories of New England's hills. The sea folk in Kingsport look up at that cliff, as other sea folk look up at the pole star, and time the night's watches by the way it hides or shows the great bear, Cassiopeia and the dragon. Among them it is one with the firmament, and truly it is hidden from them when the mist hides the stars or the sun. Some of the cliffs they love, as that whose grotesque profile they call Father Neptune, or that whose pillared steps they term the causeway, but this one they fear, because it is so near the sky. The Portuguese sailors coming in from a voyage cross themselves when they first see it, and the old Yankees believe it would be much graver matter than death to climb it, if indeed that were possible. Nevertheless, there is an ancient house on that cliff, and at evening men see lights in the small paned windows. The ancient house has always been there, and people say one dwells therein who talks with the morning mists that come up from the deep, and perhaps sees singular things oceanward at those times when the cliff's rim becomes the rim of all earth, and solemn boys toll free in the white ether of faery. This they tell from hearsay, for that forbidding crag is always unvisited, and natives dislike to train telescopes on it. Summer boarders have indeed scanned it with jaunty binoculars, but have never seen more than the grey primeval roof, peaked and shingled, whose eaves come nearly to the grey foundations, and the dim yellow light of the little windows peeping out from under those eaves in the dusk. These summer people do not believe that the same one has lived in the ancient house for hundreds of years, but cannot prove their heresy to any real Kingsporter. Even the terrible old man who talks to leaden pendulums in bottles, buys groceries with centuried Spanish gold, and keeps stone idols in the yard of his antediluvian cottage in Water Street, can only say these things were the same when his grandfather was a boy. And that must have been inconceivable ages ago, when Belcher or Shirley or Pownall or Bernard was governor of His Majesty's province of the Massachusetts Bay. Then one summer there came a philosopher into Kingsport. His name was Thomas Olney, and he taught ponderous things in a college by Narragansett Bay. With stout wife and romping children he came, and his eyes were weary with seeing the same things for many years, and thinking the same well-disciplined thoughts. He looked at the mists from the diadem of Father Neptune, and tried to walk into their white world of mystery along the Titan steps of the causeway. Morning after morning he would lie on the cliffs and look over the world's rim at the cryptical ether beyond, listening to spectral bells and the wild cries of what might have been gulls. Then, when the mist would lift and the sea stand out prosy with the smoke of steamers, he would sigh and descend to the town, where he loved to thread the narrow olden lanes up and downhill, and study the crazy tottering gables and odd pillared doorways which had sheltered so many generations of sturdy sea folk. And he even